Embrace the Word for Friday, July 17, 2026. Embracing Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a warm and encouraging declaration of the Lord's presence and protection. As Book 3 of the Psalter closed with concerns that the Davidic covenant was in jeopardy, Book 4 has opened with a prayer of intercession by Moses in Psalm 90, and now Psalm 91, which assures all who trust in the Lord of His abiding protection. There is no superscription for Psalm 91, and that usually suggests that there is a close connection to the preceding psalm. Even if Moses had no part in the crafting of Psalm 91, there is a strong link between Psalm 91 and Psalm 90. Psalm 91 functions like the Lord's gracious response to the prayer of Moses, particularly verses 13 through 17 of Psalm 90. Other links between the two psalms include the use of dwelling place, 91, 91, 1 through 2 and 9, the frequent use references about time, throughout 90, 91, 5 through 6, the term satisfy, 90, 14, 91, 16, and the term show, 90, 16, 91, 16. As Psalm 91 states, when he calls to me, I will answer him, 91, 15. Psalm 90 concluded with a series of petitions that required the Lord to answer. The promises stated in Psalm 91 correspond to the covenant blessings given to Israel as they are stated in passages like Leviticus 26. It might be important to keep passages like Leviticus 26 in mind when reading the claims of Psalm 91. When it might seem that the promises of Psalm 91 are a bit overstated, a recollection of the blessings promised when the Mosaic covenant is obeyed offers key insights. Looking at the preface to the promised covenant blessings, it states, "If you walk in my statutes and observe my commands and do them, then," see Leviticus 26, 3 through 4. Psalm 91 begins in the first person as the psalmist confesses his trust in the Lord, 91, 1 through 2, and it concludes also in the first person as the Lord confirms what he does for all who trust in him, 91, 14 through 16. In between the start and conclusion, the psalmist speaks in the second person concerning all the blessings that the Lord provides to those who belong to him, 91, 3 through 13. Psalm 91 opens with a bold affirmation of confidence in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, 91, 1. Moses, in Psalm 90, declared that the Lord was his dwelling place. See 91. Now the psalmist states that he dwells or abides in the shelter or shadow of the Lord. The parallel terms of dwelling and abiding describe the notion of sitting down and making oneself at home or coming to lodge at a place. But in this context, the home or place is a person in which the psalmist has settled down with and is experiencing a safe surrounding and a protective covering. Both descriptions, Most High and Almighty, accentuate the unlimited and uncontested power of God. The psalmist is simply stating that living in relationship with the Lord means that life is lived in the presence of the Lord, and such presence provides continued protection. What the psalmist affirms to be true in verse 1, he personalizes in verse 2. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, 91:2. Whereas verse 1 could be something that someone merely says about the Lord, verse 2 unequivocally confesses to the Lord. The psalmist does not simply affirm what is true about the Lord. He embraces the Lord to whom these things are true. He trusts in the Lord, and specifically, he trusts that the Lord is his refuge and fortress. The psalmist's protection in life is found in the presence of the Lord. In every crisis in life, in the midst of any difficulties of life, when facing each dilemma in life, as all circumstances of trouble arise and every situation of conflict presents itself, there is comfort, consolation, and counsel in the presence of God. The psalmist explains to all who would consider exactly how the presence of the Lord is the protection of his people. The psalmist offers his explanation in two groupings, 91:3-8 and 91:9-13, as he describes what the Lord's protection consists of. In the first grouping, the psalmist begins with how the Lord protects those who take refuge in him. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. 91:3-4. A fowler is a bird hunter. Even though the fowler sets his trap, the Lord will deliver. The same goes for a destructive plague. Whether it's hidden traps or deadly assaults, the Lord will ensure his people's safety in any number of ways, but specifically by drawing his people up under his cover, like a bird protects her own under its wings, or by placing his people behind him, like a layer of armor provides protection amid danger. As the psalmist turns from speaking of the objective realities of how the Lord protects his people, he speaks about how his people experience such protection. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. 91:5-8. Notice how the Lord's protection is 24/7, as the psalmist speaks of night and day, during the darkness and at noon. What would otherwise be terrorizing isn't. What would otherwise be sure to kill can't. What would otherwise mean sure death for thousands of thousands won't. But what certainly will occur is that those who trust in the Lord will see with their eyes God's judgment on the wicked. As the psalmist continues explaining how the presence of the Lord is the protection of his people, he moves to the second grouping. But first he restates the truth declared in verses 1 and 2. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. 91:9. Because the Lord is his people's dwelling place, protection is sure. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. 91:10. The psalmist's description of the Lord's protection continues. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. 91:11-12. Whereas verses 3-4 assign the Lord more directly to be the protector of his people, verses 11-12 introduce how the Lord deploys his angels to assist in protecting his people. Still under the providential oversight of the Lord, angels are dispatched to be guardians to his people. And just as the first grouping also touched on the demise of his people's enemies, so too does this second grouping. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. 91:13. The language of verse 13 is reminiscent of Genesis 3:15, as it spoke of God's promised deliverer being a head crusher. Whereas in the first grouping, the Lord's people will see the Lord implement justice on their behalf. In the second group, the Lord involves his people in the victorious acts of treading upon and trampling on their hostile enemies. The psalmist closes by recording what the Lord himself asserts. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. 91:14-16. The Lord declares 8 things he will do for the one who truly knows him and thus loves him. Such a one will demonstrate their relationship to the Lord, for they will call upon him. Not as an earned reward in exchange for knowing and loving the Lord, rather as the sure promises that emphasize the Lord's holy loyalty and devotion that he has for those who belong to him. All who trust him, the Lord promises to deliver him, protect him, answer him, be with him, rescue him, honor him, satisfy him, and show him my salvation. These promises do not imply a trouble-free life, but they do help orient us back to the Lord and his promises, which are always true as they are implemented in many ways this side of eternity and will be implemented in every way throughout the eternal state. As we reflect on Psalm 91, we can consider how a portion of this psalm is played out in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just prior to the start of his public ministry, while Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan sought to tempt him, this psalm is involved in that experience. As Psalm 91 points to the future king from David's line, it is as though Satan thought he could challenge Jesus by misusing the promises contained in this psalm. Satan misused this psalm when, for his second attempt to disqualify Jesus, he took him to the temple and tempted Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" See Matthew 4:6, quoting Psalm 91:11-12. Satan targeted Jesus' trust in the Father. Satan tried to manipulate Jesus into proving his Father's love by intentionally throwing himself in harm's way. But Jesus knew that true faith makes no such demands, and Jesus needed no proof of the love of God had already been declared. See Matthew 3:17. Though it would have been a spectacular angelic rescue, which would have garnered an enthusiastic following for Jesus, it would not have come through the Father's means of obedience and suffering. The Lord's promises are designed to be the means of trusting him, not testing him. Jesus not only modeled for his people how to respond to temptation, he demonstrated a perfect and reliant obedience, qualifying him to die on behalf of his people at the cross, and thereby securing all God's promises for all who trust in him. Jesus has, in fact, earned all the promises of Psalm 91, and he shares all that he has earned with all his people. While all his promises are already true in Christ, some are experienced the moment one trusts in Christ, while the rest will be experienced throughout eternity. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, July 17, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, July 20, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 92.